Hello and welcome to Recipe Challenge. I'm your host, Rebecca Collins.
I'm your co-host, Katie Lale.
And we're back. It's 2025.
It's
2025. So we have some old business to attend to, but let's just say the topic is soups on.
Yes, winter soups.
Winter soups. And it was supposed to be solstice soup.
Yes.
That didn't happen.
Just didn't happen. December gets really busy.
It was too much. And then we couldn't get it in. And then January has happened. And now here we are at the end of the month, squeezing it in. But it's been so cold here.
It's good. It's still soup season.
So don't worry. Still soup season. So yeah, that's so what we're going to be doing today. But first, old business.
Old business. Or you can say ongoing.
Ongoing. Business.
The ongoing red velvet versus devil's food cake.
We're still trying to figure out what it is.
We are. I did some research. This is from the Kitchen website.
Oh, right.
And here's what I found out. And this might give us, we might have more questions after this. But so according to them, red velvet uses natural cocoa powder. There's usually buttermilk and vinegar in the batter. And there's red food coloring, of course.
Oh, okay.
Devil's food cake uses Dutch processed cocoa, which I will get to in a sec about the difference between those two. And then like either hot coffee, boiling water, or sour cream in the batter, and there's no red food coloring.
Well, okay, so that's like really moist then probably.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know if you're using all of those, but
you're choosing one of those.
It could be one of those.
I wonder what coffee or sour cream. That's interesting.
I know it is.
Okay.
It is.
Okay.
The difference between natural cocoa powder and Dutch process. And I checked. I have two cocoa powders at my house. They're both natural. One is like a store brand and the other one is Hershey's. But Dutch process cocoa, the beans have been washed in an alkaline solution, it neutralizes the acidity. So you don't need, if you're using Dutch processed cocoa, you don't need baking soda. You don't need, I can't read my writing. does not react, that's right, with baking soda. And it's just more mellow.
So you just skip it? I do have some Dutch process cocoa. I think I used it for Christmas cookies.
I've never looked close enough at recipes to see like if it says Dutch process.
It will say.
If it says Dutch process, then it probably isn't including baking soda.
Baking soda. Right. And it will say, I think they will specify if it's Dutch process. Yeah. I always get the same kind, but I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah. I've seen it before, but
I guess
I just have the natural.
Dreft or something.
Oh.
Is the brand.
Oh, cool.
It's like imported. Imported.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Okay.
So
that's the difference.
If you have more questions about, I guess it's us. We had the questions.
No, I just said, like what's the difference between chocolate,
right?
Devil's food and red velvet, which is kind of like a chocolate cake, but not.
Right. It's not.
Okay.
Yeah. It is a chocolate flavor cake.
Okay.
There are some.
All right.
Some differences.
All right. Good.
If you have any other questions, that we will get to the bottom of it. Just email us.
Well, message us. There might be some new questions that come up today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, soup.
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 Do you make a lot of soup?
I do.
Okay.
I make a lot of soup.
You do? Tell me, like, what are your go? Do you have go-tos or
many.
Like to try new ones?
Oh, I love to try new soups. Mm-hmm. I just love it. And here's the thing. As I was making the soup, I was remembering when I learned how to make soup. I didn't make soup until I was into my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Never occurred to me that you could make soup.
Yeah.
I don't know if my mom really made soup. I think she made a few, but we were like pretty hard on the Campbell's can.
Oh, yeah. Same.
Like
same.
For lunch or something.
Yep.
Not like a... Yeah. So I lived in an apartment and I found a recipe for like corn chowder.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to make this corn chowder. And it was an event.
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh my God, I am making soup today.
I think that was one of the first soups I made too. Either that or like a broccoli cheddar or something like that.
Yeah.
But
I was like, and it was so intense. Like I was like, how can I do this? Well, the first thing is that I didn't sous chef anything.
Right.
I just started making the soup. And then I'd be like, you need to chop that?
Oh.
And I'd just stop everything and chop it. It was so stupid. I was doing like one ingredient and then I would be like, oh no, I didn't read ahead or do. Mm-hmm. It was so intense. Mm-hmm. I remember being like real sweaty, like running around the kitchen. It was my apartment kitchen, which wasn't great. And just then the soup, we made this and it was like miracle.
Hey.
Like, oh my God, you made soup and it's so good. And then I was like, yeah, I'm going to make soup. And so from that point on, I've just been making soup. And I think a little while ago, I made that recipe again. And I was like, there's nothing to this. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, if you get everything ready beforehand, mm-hmm. I'm like, this is not hard.
You bring up such a good point about prepping, before, like reading the recipe
why is
beforehand.
That so hard? I never learned that.
No, me either. And so, like, especially with this soup that I made, like, you're in the middle and then, like, things move pretty fast. So you kind of want to have things ready. Yes.
You want to have things
through
ready.
It. Yes. Read through it. And yeah, I think it probably
be
is
ready
best practice.
Yeah. Like, read through it and get all your stuff ready. Like, I guess that's just like an amateur thing to do to just start cooking. But
I still do that sometimes. Just dive in.
Yeah. I'll be like, oh no, you had to like cook the rice ahead of time and have it. It'll be like cooked and cooled rice.
Oh,
and I'm like,
right.
Oh, for God's sake. I'm so annoyed then. But yes. But the soup. So that was my entry point. It was corn chowder.
Yeah.
I don't think it had anything else. It was just like corn chowder with red peppers in it. I just thought it was so amazing to make this soup. So
yeah,
I've been into it ever since.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's great.
There's nothing like it. On a cold night.
I know, with some little bread.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know.
I don't cook a lot of soups.
Oh.
I have made corn chowder. I've made a broccoli cheddar. We have a grocery store here called Byerly's, and they have a very good wild, like, cream of wild rice soup. And, like, that recipe was, like, it was, like, in a magazine or posted somewhere, and I made it. And that was, I remember feeling fancy because it has some sherry in it or some cooking sherry in it. Or, you know, this soup today has some wine in it. Just, like, something a little more sophisticated to give it some more depth of flavor.
Yep.
And it's got some slivered almonds in there, that cream of chicken wild rice soup.
Which reminds me.
So good.
That over the holidays, we went to a holiday market together.
Oh, yeah.
At the old Dayton's department store building downtown, which is not Dayton's anymore. But the highlight for me was that they were serving the soup that they used to serve in the Dayton's like cafeteria or restaurant, the chicken wild rice.
Mm-hmm.
It was delicious.
With some sourdough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so good.
It was a cold day.
They
served it with sourdough bread.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Do you want to talk about your soup first?
Okay, the one that I chose or the one I made?
The one you made.
The one I made. Okay.
I guess that would be my soup.
But you chose for me.
Yes.
Ina Garten's creamy tomato bisque.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bisque.
Okay. So.
I think I sent you the link, but I was going through my cookbooks.
Okay.
And I have one of hers. It's like the comfort food one, I think.
Nice.
She has a lot. And I was remembering that her memoir came out this year, which I think you read are reading. It popped out to me. So tomato soup. And it's like like a bisque. So it's like creamy.
Oh, yeah. It's super creamy. I did read Ina Garten's memoir. I like her.
Yeah.
But I kind of got stalled out towards the end of this memoir just because it kind of crosses over into like tales of the rich, tales of the super rich, where I'm like, this is not very relatable anymore. And like, okay, she worked really hard.
She did.
She has worked her ass off to get what she has. No begrudging her anything.
Yeah.
But
it just tipped a little bit into that.
The end of this book is like, I made some extra money off of my cookbook and I didn't know what to do with it. So I bought an apartment in Paris. And it's like, that's not just extra money.
Yeah, no.
And then she is furnishing. She had to like knock down all these walls and do this thing and interior design this apartment. And so she flies to Paris once a month.
Dang.
To do this project. And she won't let her husband inside the apartment until it's completely done. I guess because she wanted to do it all.
Yeah.
And she wanted to have every single object, like place,
that before cannot he could be cheap.
Before he could come in there. And I was like, this is like, I'm not relating.
No. Yeah,
also,
you've
I don't
me.
Think like it's great to fly to Paris every month.
Probably not.
I don't know. I mean, hey, it's her money, but yeah, there were like places in there where I was like, I can no longer relate to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a little odd because it kind of combined like I'm just folks.
Right.
With like, I am the mega rich. And I was like, January 2025 or whenever I was reading it in November, I was like, not feeling the mega rich.
Nope.
Not feeling the oligarchs.
Speaking of France, I just finished My Life in France by Julie Child. I cannot believe I have never read this book before. My mom got it for me for Christmas.
Oh, it's so good.
So delightful.
It's so good.
France in the 50s.
It's so good.
You know, she didn't start her TV show until she was in her 50s.
When she got her TV show, right?
Yeah, her TV show.
And I think she did her cookbook when she was in her 40s.
Yeah, volume one.
Yeah.
Took a lot, years and years and years.
She is inspirational.
It's just so delightful. Yeah. Just great.
And similar to Ina Garten, she ends up buying a home in Provence.
Yes.
And then spending all this time and money But I didn't have the same reaction.
It's like, it was like this small, they build a house on their friend's property.
It's kind of the same though.
I mean,
they made this house.
Yeah.
This house was probably pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty.
You can stay at that house. You can stay at her house in Provence. Oh, and it's on Airbnb. And you know it's expensive Airbnb. When it doesn't say the price. It's on there. And so I just, you know, you can just like plug in days to see. And for four nights, it was like $11,000.
Oh, okay.
Makes me,
I mean, like, it did sound amazing though.
I think it would be incredible to cook in this kitchen that she cooked in and had all of these like just get-togethers and parties.
The life that she described at this house was pretty amazing.
Yes. At least at the end of My Life in France, she talks about like that since that house is on their friend's property, they just give it back to them. So I don't know who owns it now, if it's still that family, but it's like, I mean, they're making a lot of money off of it.
One of the highlights,
for better or worse.
We went to Washington, D.C. in 2016.
Yeah.
And we went to the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the history.
I think it's the Smithsonian.
And they have her entire kitchen down to every utensil and measuring spoon.
Yeah.
Like, you can just look in the windows, and it's so good. It's so good.
So inspiring.
I don't know why. Right? I just stood there, and I looked in every single window, and I don't know. It just felt, great. First of all, great kitchen. I was like, can you imagine if this was your kitchen? But just, I don't know, I just felt like it was so cool.
Moving to France. In your 40s, you just got married, and you don't know French,
and you're just jumping in. Yeah.
She's just so inspired. It's never too late.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Well, not that I'm going to move to France.
It's kind of like a contrast. It's very similar to Ina Garten, but it's also very different in tone, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason, I just could not get through that memoir.
Yeah.
I wanted to like, and I do, I don't know. I like her.
Yeah.
And I do think her recipes are very approachable.
Yes,
I
agree.
She makes them so that, you know, it's not hard. She's thinking about that, but then there's like, we'll get to this. There's elements.
Well, we can dive in.
There's elements where you're like, are you living on the same planet?
Like saffron?
Okay.
So I'm jumping ahead. All right, tomato bisque.
It's tomato bisque. Creamy tomato bisque. And I would say... The basic components and structure of it are very easy. Yes. And you've got three aromatics. Like, you've got your onion, your shallot, and your leeks.
Whoa,
all cooking together. And it smells amazing with olive oil and butter.
Yum.
I mean, so great. And then you're using big cans of crushed tomatoes.
Okay. Yep.
Like three big ones.
Yeah.
4 cups of whole milk, 2 cups of cream. I mean, this makes a huge volume.
Yeah.
Here's where it kind of fell apart for me. The saffron.
Okay. Yeah. How much?
Okay. I'm going to show you this, Katie. Look at this.
You found it.
Oh, I did. And this is what the saffron came in. It's a large jar with like a regular tiny jar inside.
It's a regular size spice jar with a tiny jar inside. That is so stupid.
And it's, you know why?
Because it's so expensive. Well, it's so expensive.
I didn't know a lot. I just knew. I had this vague, like, oh, saffron's expensive. And this thing was, you get just a little over half a teaspoon in here.
Oh, that's it? That's in there?
That was in there.
The reds. Okay.
It's the red threads.
Okay. Yep.
And I mean, it was over half a teaspoon, but I don't know that it was a teaspoon.
Dang.
That was $13. So you get not even a teaspoon for 13. I was like,
come on.
What?
Did it have to be in the rest? I guess we'll say. Does it?
Like, I mean, I feel like I'm such a plebe that I won't notice the difference, but maybe if you're a top chef. But I looked it up and it says, just in case you don't know, this is the stamens of flowers.
Yes.
The crocus.
Yes, the crocus. The
saffron crocus. And each flower has three stamens or threads.
Oh, yep. Okay.
And they have to be hand
plucked.
So from each flower, you're getting three threads. Then they have to be dried. And it said you need to get a gram of saffron. You need 150 flowers. This is insanity.
It's insanity.
And like, it's been used for thousands of years. And it's also like a dye. It's used in dye, like natural dye and stuff. But I kind of feel like, in today's world, we might be done with saffron. Like, are we post-saffron?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I think so.
My new t-shirt is post-saffron world.
Post-saffron.
Yeah, we're post-saffron people.
Yes.
Because just like, it's often called red gold because the petals of the flower are purple and then the stamens are
like that red.
Red. And so you get these little red threads and like they smell good.
Yeah.
I'm sure they add a dimension to the soup. I actually was just like, you know what? It's not even a full teaspoon. The recipe calls for half a teaspoon.
Yeah.
I just put it all
in. Yeah, just put it all in.
So there's a lot of saffron in there. But I was like, Ina.
Come on.
Who's got this sitting around?
Nobody.
And also, if you live in not all areas are going to, you're not going to be able to run to the store and get saffron threads.
Nope.
And just anywhere. So. Nope. That's my one quibble.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be true to the recipe, but I wonder if you just skipped it.
Like, it would
how bad would it be? Or, I mean, would you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Wouldn't know. Or what if it doesn't have any oregano or basil in it, but could you put dry oregano or basil?
Probably.
Or is that like
sacrilege?
I don't know.
You can do whatever you want.
I was like, okay, well, we're doing the saffron, but the first store, I sent you a photo.
Yeah.
They wanted, what was it?
$28.99
for however many.
Well, yeah. I don't know if it was probably that much. The same thing. Yeah,
probably. And it was discontinued and sold out.
What?
So I was like, why do you have this thing out here? But anyway, it's Spanish saffron. So other than that, pretty easy. You're just chopping those three things. You're putting them in the butter and olive oil. And then after those are softened, you're putting tomato, milk, cream, saffron, salt, pepper.
Hey, do you have to like puree it or anything?
No.
No, just
because you're using
crushed
tomato.
Oh, nice. That's great. Yeah.
So like that also, she could have said like whole tomatoes or whatever. It's crushed. So you're done. Pretty easy.
Yeah.
And it did say on the website that once you eat this soup, you'll never go back to the can.
Probably. Well.
And I realize I don't eat canned soup.
But I used to, but I don't.
But I'll make it. But yeah, it's a little intense to make soup all the time. I know. Yeah. I feel like a lot of things about cooking, like, it's easy to sound sanctimonious when you're talking about cooking because you can be like, you eat canned soup. You don't want to spring for the saffron, but it is an issue. It's time is an issue.
Yes.
Money is an issue.
Yes.
So
yes.
We'll see. We'll see what we think. All right. We'll talk about your recipe.
All right. You sent me, this is from Bon Appetit, creamy chicken and mushroom soup.
Yes.
And, there was a lot of standing in this recipe. I've talked about this before. I'm going to set, maybe I'm just, I'm getting over a cold, so maybe I'm just extra tired, but
standing.
I think a reason I love baking is
you can walk
the
away.
Oven does the work. Mm. Like I love
I put it in the oven.
A sheet pan dinner. You put it in.
Ooh, I love a sheet pan dinner.
Or like a casserole or a baked pasta or a something braised. Let the oven do the work. I did get to sit down for 15 minutes.
All right. Rest your legs. Rest your legs. You need a kitchen stool.
Yeah, stool.
Can you sit at the stove on your stool and like stir the pot?
Oh my gosh. But this, like, that's what cooking is. Cooking is being in your kitchen cooking, right?
Sometimes. Yes. I mean, yeah. That's what's intense about soups. Because you got to, like this soup, my soup.
Yep.
You had to get it to a boil.
Right.
Get this big pot to a boil. And then it was start the 30 to 40 minute simmer.
Yeah.
So
it's some waiting around.
You know, it's not really a weeknight soup.
I wouldn't call this one.
If you've got a lot of time, sure, but it's not like get home from work and start this soup.
Yeah, I think at least these two soups, weekend soups.
So like talk through the steps.
Okay, so I did read through and I did I knew I needed to chop the shallots and garlic and some parsley. And now actually, there's not a lot of chopping, which I appreciated.
Okay.
Not a lot of chopping. Little bit with the mushrooms.
What kind of mushrooms did you use?
I did a mix of shiitake and baby bellas.
Nice.
Baby bellas.
Baby bellas.
Which I did have to cut up because I want it to be in
bite-sized
pieces. So first, and I also appreciate that I didn't have to saute the chicken was pretty easy to cook, which I'll get to because it just poached in the soup, which I've never done before. But
this is the first year I have poached.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I didn't even know what it was.
Pat the chicken dry, saute some mushrooms, take the mushrooms out, saute your shallots and garlic. Then you're adding flour, I used chopped fresh thyme. Which is not my favorite.
No, it's awful.
Herb.
Oh, you don't like it. Thyme.
Yeah, thyme. Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Love it.
You're going to like the soup.
But thyme is a bitch.
Did I chop it or?
Okay, wait.
Or did I just like rip? I picked the little leaves off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes they make you chop it.
Is there a tablespoon? Oh my close God. Enough.
Time is a bitch is another new t-shirt idea.
T-H-Y, yep. Abby. Write it down.
Write it down.
You're making kind of a roux with that little bit of flour, thyme.
Yeah. Nice.
Shallots and garlic. Adding a cup of white wine.
Okay, wait. Stop.
Yes.
White wine. Cooking wine. What kind did you get? This has been such a thing for me.
Yeah?
I never know what to get.
Well, it calls for dry white wine.
Yeah, what?
I...
Did you use a Pinot Grigio?
I did use a Pinot Grigio, but I don't know. Is that a dry wine?
Yes.
Good. Because we had
it. But what brand?
I didn't... Or what brand? It's called Gabbiano, Italian.
So, okay.
I had had, like... We had had it at a restaurant like a while ago. We were like, this is like Gabbiano. It was like ages ago, like when we first started dating.
Oh.
And then it like came, like we were talking about it one day and we're like, Gabbiano, we got to get some.
Oh,
so
okay.
We had a bottle of that.
Okay.
So I just used that because we had it. I didn't want to go to the store. Okay. I didn't want to do an extra store. But that's good that it's
sometimes
a dry. I should know that.
It's intense. Trying to get all these ingredients together. The last time I bought cooking wine, I went
like
to
wine for cooking.
Yes.
Okay.
I went to the store and I asked. I was like,
"Yes,
what can I get?" Yeah. And the guy was like, "Get." He's like, "Wait." He's like, "Are you gonna drink it?" And I said, "No, I just want it for cooking."
Yeah.
He's like, "Well, if you're not gonna drink it, you can get Barefoot."
Yes. Yes.
You know that Barefoot brand?
Bad.
Yeah, Barefoot Pinot Grigio. He's like, that's a good cooking wine, but promise me you're not going to drink it. And I got it, and I mean, it was fine.
It's what you drink before you have
a license.
A better, or yeah, like a bet. And then you're
before
like,
you're legal.
Before you, yeah, or before you're, before you actually have a good wine. And then you're like, oh
I'm yeah, not like Barefoot anymore. Yeah, like when you're young and cheap yeah. and you're like, let's get a bottle of Barefoot. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's like, it's not good.
It's not good.
But I just, it's not good. I just kept it and yeah. used it for cooking. But then I read too, like, don't keep your cooking wine for too long after you uncork it. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be bad. I don't, because I can't, I mean, yeah. So this has been a struggle where I'm like, yeah. what kind of wine is the best dry?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess you always have to ask for help.
Yeah.
Unless you have your go-to.
I think, yeah. I should have looked up what a dry, I should have confirmed that a Pinot Grigio was going to be okay. But then I knew like a Riesling probably wasn't going to work because it's like too sweet.
Oh no.
But
no.
Like would a Sauvignon Blanc be okay?
I don't know.
Or a Chardonnay?
I don't know. But, right. Oh no, wait. I do know Chardonnay. No.
Okay.
Because one time.
Not dry.
Keith was cooking a casserole when we yeah. lived, same apartment where we made soup.
Yeah.
He was making a casserole that called for cooking wine and all we had was Chardonnay.
Oh my god,
it was awful.
Oh no.
Like sour.
Oh.
I don't know what happened, but we just threw it in the trash and went out for dinner.
Bummer.
This is bad. So I kind of know.
Not Chardonnay.
Like, well, that's my opinion.
Yeah, no.
I mean, obviously I could research this, yeah. but I use it. It comes up rarely. And then when it yeah. comes up, I just go to the store and I'm like, what's a
yeah.
cooking wine? And somebody hands me something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just was wondering what you use.
Yeah.
So you used a Pinot Grigio.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Add in half the mushrooms, and then this is a, like, shame on Bon Appetit. They had, like, in all of the ingredients on this printout are in bold, except the chicken isn't. And so when, you know, when you're reading through the recipe and you're like, where do I add this chicken? Because it's just, like, you're patting it dry in the first step, and then I'm like, when am I cooking this? But it does say reserved chicken, not in bold. So good thing I read through. You put the chicken in raw, 5 cups of water.
Oh.
Bring it to a boil, cover it, and let it sit for 15 minutes. Okay. I've never done that before, just like
thrown. I did that for the first time last summer yeah. for a salad or something. And it worked. I was yeah. like, oh, I thought it would be really dry or weird, yeah. like boiled chicken.
Yeah.
But it
yeah.
wasn't.
Yeah.
And I was like, why don't we do this more often? Yeah. I mean, it was fine.
I wonder if it like imbued some of the chicken flavor into the
broth. Did you use that water then? The water that it cooks in, do you keep it or do you
throw
it away?
No, it's cooking in the soup.
Oh.
Yeah. Like you're keep like all of the stuff that's already in there, like shallots, garlic.
You just put the chicken in it.
Mushrooms. Yeah, you put the chicken in.
Bring it to a boil.
Bring it to a boil, cover it, let it sit for 15 minutes. Okay. Then you take the chicken out, shred it up.
Oh.
Product plug.
Ooh.
They said forks, but we have the what are they called? They're called bear claws for like shredding meat. They're black.
Oh.
There's two of them. They're super sharp. It's plastic, but it's plastic but really sharp.
Bear claw.
And you hold it and then you can just shred the meat up.
Lord,
it's
that
great.
Sounds great.
It's great. It's
Where'd
fun.
You get those?
We'll put a link up. We'll put a link up.
Bear claw.
Bear claws. You kind of
bear
yeah.
claw. Was it like so much faster than forks?
So much faster. Great. And I did it on a sheet pan instead of a, like I needed something with rims, but also great to use the bear claws. Like if you are doing something in the crock pot,
something that
you need to shred.
I've heard of people using their stand mixer.
What?
To shred chicken.
Oh.
You just put it in there and let the.
With the paddle?
Uh-huh.
What?
I guess. All right, I don't have a stand mixer. But I've seen that in recipes where they're like, just put it in your stand mixer and let it go. And I was like, what? Okay, but I don't have one.
What? All right. That's a good tip.
All right. So then.
Okay. And then, so that's shred the chicken, put it back in the soup, add a cup of heavy cream, 2 teaspoons of Worcestershire sauce. Worcestershire. Worcestershire.
I have no idea.
That's what I say.
I can't do it.
Worcestershire? Worcestershire?
Worcestershire. Shire.
And yeah, keep it warm. They also have a parsley oil to drizzle on top.
Parsley oil?
That is chopped parsley, garlic cloves, grated garlic cloves, and olive oil and a little bit of salt. So we'll see. I didn't put, that's going to be like the topper.
Oh, you put that on top. This sounds fancy.
Parsley oil.
Mine has shredded, or yeah, shredded shaved Parmesan.
Ooh, that's going to be good.
So well, that's my topper. Yum. It also said parsley, and I didn't buy it because
I know.
Didn't think about it.
I know. It's like, if it's just going to be a garnish,
yeah.
Do you need it?
Yeah, no.
Do you need it?
Do you need it? We'll find out.
All right, okay. Let's go taste some soup.
Let's go have some soup. Soup's on. And we're back. With a dog walking around the room, so
clicking.
If you hear anything, it's just the dog.
Let's start with the tomato bisque. So comforting.
It was really good.
Like, reminds me of being a kid.
And there's something, there were so many layers of taste.
Yes.
I think that's what it is. Like,
if you the saffron?
I hope not, but it might be.
I don't know if I didn't, maybe you would know better because you were working with it and probably like smelled it before you put it in. Like, because I don't even know if I could identify that.
I think it's just giving it like that umami taste. Yeah. You're not like, but also this soup has a ton of black pepper in it and a quarter teaspoon of red pepper flakes.
Ooh, yeah.
So there's a little kick.
A little kick.
Plus saffron, plus crushed tomatoes. There were like a lot of layers. So you've got like your acid, I think sometimes people get that umami with tomato stuff by using balsamic vinegar.
Yeah.
And I wonder if she was like, I'm using saffron. I don't know. Yeah. And plus it's got, I mean, you've got leeks, shallots and onion. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're that note in there is just like,
I believe in the cookbook, the recipe next to this one is for like a garlic cheesy crouton deliciousness. What I think would like croutons? Take it over the edge. I thought about including it, but we were already doing so much work with soup.
Can you imagine? You didn't need that to be making like croutons though. Or I mean, let's face it, like a really cheesy, fancy grilled cheese.
Oh yeah,
with that soup,
that would take it over.
It would be
heaven.
Amazing.
Not going back. Not going back to canned tomato soup.
You'll never go back
especially to canned. Sounds like, according to your description, relatively easy. I like the long simmer time.
It was pretty.
Would you say the chopping?
You got chopping up front.
How much onion through, leeks and shallots?
You've got like two big shallots.
Okay.
You've got a cup and a half of onion, which is like one large onion.
Okay.
And then you've got to get a cup of leeks, and that was, it depends on what size they are. Okay. Sometimes they're huge, sometimes they're small, so you kind of have to judge it.
Okay.
You know what, that's not that big of a deal, just get that out of the way. Then it's like cooking time.
Yeah, it makes a lot. It looks like,
oh my god, it's a huge pot of soup.
Yeah,
does have cream and whole milk. So nope, not vegan, maybe not like super healthy, but
but
it's pretty good.
You know what's in it,
like cold day.
Yeah.
Oof. Can you beat her?
I don't think so.
Can you beat Ina? I don't know if you can.
We like it.
Okay.
Tomato bisque.
Chicken.
And that that cookbook is the comfort food cookbook.
Oh,
so
okay. Is that a
tracks.
Newer? Is it
newer? I don't think so.
Who knows?
I've had it for a while.
So many.
She has so many. Yeah.
So many. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Creamy chicken.
Creamy chicken and mushroom
soup.
So also very good.
It's good. The flavors are good.
Yeah. What didn't you like about it?
I don't know if it's worth the time. Oh. I don't know if it's worth the effort.
Oh,
and
I
also
see.
Because it was warm when I left my house, but it was not.
We're not.
I know. We can't vote
you
based on temperature.
You transported soup on a January day. There's no points deducted.
Yes. So
it's not going to be piping hot. It's not fair. Yes. Mine's been on the stove all day.
Yes. But good flavors.
I thought it was
good
flavors. And like, if that was your dinner, because it's got chicken and mushrooms, and I don't know, it was good. I think one of the things is we were eating them together, and the Ina Garten one is so creamy.
Yes,
because it's got cream and milk, and then yours had a cup of cream.
It's only a cup of cream, so it's more water. It's thinner,
and then you notice the contrast. But if I didn't notice that,
that's a good point.
I'd be like, oh.
And when are you, you're not eating two soups at the same time, probably. Two different soups for having dinner.
Unless you're having your soup bar party, where it's like a million soups. Yeah.
But it's the flavors are there.
The flavors are there. I guess maybe, okay, if you say it's too labor intensive, can't argue there. Yeah. Too much effort for what you get out of it. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
But I think I would almost want it to be more creamy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Is that 2 cups of cream? I don't know. Yeah. Or cream and milk combo?
Yeah. It is funny when you, like, when I make, like, on its own, you're like, okay, this is, like, kind of creamy. But then when you, like, when it's next to the bisque that's so creamy, it looks less creamy. God.
Okay. Here's the thing, though. If you made this soup, the tomato bisque, would you get the saffron? Would you spring for it?
I don't know.
I mean, hand?
Probably not.
But then what would happen? Would it be as good?
I don't
know.
Probably not.
You got to make it.
What is it? It called for half a teaspoon?
Half a teaspoon. Which I put in more than half.
Well,
so.
When I make it, I probably am going to include the saffron just because it was so good.
Okay. Okay. Because
if I can find it.
Well.
You did find it.
You can always order it.
Yeah.
But I mean. Yeah, okay, you know, I don't know. I do not know this saffron conundrum.
Maybe that's where, another dimension that we're getting.
Are we being eco-criminals? So we're like, we have to have the saffron. We need these flower stems that someone hand-plucked from a flower.
So many flowers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just another, you know, just another dilemma in this year of 2025. So many things to deal with. And now we have the saffron problem.
Well.
All right. So.
Maybe there's some ethically sourced saffron we can get our hands on.
Actually, this is my new business. I'm buying a huge plot of land. Mm-hmm. I'm setting up like 70 greenhouses. Mm. And I'm growing the flowers. And I'm going to go around hand plucking these threads, and I'm going to charge $1 million for them. Come to the saffron farm. Okay.
I like it. Ready to vote?
Yes. I don't want to, though.
I vote bisque. It's just, like, comfort. It's like unlocking some, like, childhood memories.
Fine.
It's comfortable for me, but you can vote.
Have to vote bisque. I don't know how I feel about
it. Vote bisque, 2025.
Bisque. What is the next election year? 2029?
Yeah.
Or 8?
4 or 8.
Bisque.
Bisque, 2028.
With running mate saffron.
Yeah.
Controversial.
Bisque saffron.
All right. Okay. Well.
Are you ready for our next meeting?
I am ready. We're going to be back. On our schedule.
Back for February.
We're back.
Yes, we'll be back.
We'll be back.
It's been a while since we did a beverage.
Oh.
And since it's winter,
okay,
we are doing après-ski mocktail or cocktail. Like a warm drink. It doesn't have to be after skiing, but like après-ski is like.
Yeah.
It's this a vibe. It's a culture. It doesn't have to be skiing. It can
okay,
be.
Wait.
Your, yes, go ahead.
Can it be a coffee?
Yes.
Can it be a tea?
Yes.
Can it be a hot chocolate?
Yes. It can be, it can have alcohol, not alcohol.
Oh my God. But it does need to be warm.
It does need to be warm. That's yes. I would say warm drink. Yes. Okay. Warming you up. You're in a chalet.
Oh my God.
There's a fire going. Maybe there's fondue.
Oh, what?
I don't know.
There's fondue? I'm in my cute ski outfit with my matching tights and sweater. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, après-ski.
Will mine include mini marshmallows?
I hope so.
That's the question to answer. Oh, man. This is pressure. I feel pressure.
In the meantime, please follow us.
Yes.
Email us. Message us. Rate us.
Share your thoughts on saffron.
Yeah.
We'd love
to hear from you.
What's your opinion?
And we will see you next month.
February.
All right.
See ya.
Bye.